Anytime you put anything in your life above God, it becomes an idol. Listen, behind every idol are spiritual forces waiting to entrap you and pull you down.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. I'm here with Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church, Pastor Mark Job. And Pastor Mark, what a joy it's been serving Chicagoland and really and beyond now. People all over the state, people all over the country, and even people all over the world are tuning in on a regular basis, growing and developing in their faith. And we've gotten some great emails in, some great feedback. We love to hear the stories. Thank you for reaching back out. You know, this is a ministry of love. This isn't a for-profit. We do this really out of our passion to help create disciples around the world. Pastor Mark, tell us, you know, what just amps you up about being able to minister to people this way?
You know, we just recently celebrated our 30th year anniversary. I've been a pastor in Chicagoland now for 30 years. Amazing. Man, I didn't know they allowed people to start pastoring at 10 years old, Joshua. But it's just, we've seen really thousands of people come to Christ and had an opportunity to plant 24 locations here in Chicagoland currently. And now we're planting churches overseas. We're in six different countries as well. And I'm excited because I keep hearing listeners that are joining us from different places. We have regularly listeners over the internet, of course, that join us from different countries, and we hear back from them. So we love to hear from you. If you are listening to a podcast or listening to the radio via the internet and you're from outside of Chicago, please send us an email. Let us know what God is doing. We love to hear from people, especially from other countries or other states. It encourages our staff and our team as we continue to release these broadcasts and see what God is doing.
Amen. And, you know, there's a very easy way to share this with others. If you're enjoying these messages, if it's been a part of your spiritual growth, download our app and also share that app with others. It's totally free and it's totally designed to help you grow spiritually. There's messages, there's a Bible reading plan, there's different resources that you can grow with. And that's at PastorMarkJobe.com. PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. And thanks for tuning in. We love you. We're praying for you. We're praying that this station and this message would be a blessing to your life. Let's get into the Word.
Thank you, Josh. Today is the second half of Pastor Mark's current message called Keeping Your Worship Pure, which is from his series called Out of Control. Our text will be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 22. Here's Pastor Mark.
There may be nothing wrong with that secular tune that one person's listening to, but when you hear it, it takes you back to the old places, back to a bad place in your life, and suddenly it makes you participate in your heart and in your memories again with something that you shouldn't be participating in. Hello, anybody tracking with me here? And what the Apostle Paul is saying is that when you eat of this, when you participate in this, if your physical act causes you to participate in something that is unholy for you, ungodly for you, then you need to say no to it. You need to eliminate it from your life because it does nothing good to your spirit. And he goes on to say, listen, he goes on to say, do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? Because some people were saying, hey, there's really no such thing as an idol. It's just a piece of wood. It's just a piece of rock. It's not really a god. There's only one god, and you're the god. So the Apostle Paul says, hey, he's asking a rhetorical question. Do you mean that something offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to, what does it say? Demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. You say, hold on, why is he talking about demons now? I mean, I thought we were just talking about idolatry. What brought in this conversation about demons? This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. The Apostle Paul is saying, behind every form of idolatry, even though the God may not be real, even though it may just be a piece of pole or a piece of rock, there are spiritual forces that can entangle you behind it. Do you understand? For example, someone that's worshiping the God of fertility. Oh, we really want 5 boys, strapping strong. Let's go to the God of fertility and let's pray to the God of fertility. Even though the God of fertility was just a piece of rock that people were worshiping to, there is demonic power behind it, camouflaged behind it, and that demonic power may even try to help fertility happen there, only to suck you in to entrapment and to bondage in your life. Do you realize that there's power in the dark side as well? Do you realize that? Someone says, well, hey, I don't know. I kind of believe in it because I went down. My aunt had a friend of a friend of a friend, and we went down. And we went into this house, and there was this lady there, and she had a picture of Jesus, but she also had a picture of this and a picture of that, and they waved some smoke over me and broke an egg on my stomach and waved and did verses and did some enchantment and did ooby-jooby-hooby-booby stuff over me. And guess what? It worked. And I thought I had a curse that no man would love me, and 2 weeks later, this guy came into my life. And so therefore, I know it's real. Oh yeah, it's real. Oh, no doubt about it being power in spiritual areas. The question is, not is there power? The question is, where did that power come from? Oh, there's no question there's spiritual forces out there, but the question is it the Holy Spirit or is it some other spirit? Oh, yeah, I know you ran into that guy, but little did you know that that guy would be the worst thing in your life for you, and that you ran into him, you got entangled in him, and you thought it was an answer to prayer or some hokey pokey Jesus philosophy, eggs and smoke and curandera stuff that was happening there, and you're all yay, 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 it works, but really the power is leading you down some dark alley, spiritual alley, where you're going to become in bondage and where you're going to put your faith in the wrong thing, and before you know it, you're going to be entrapped by a power, a seducing spirit that will bring more evil to your life than good. Hello. And don't tell me, well, they had a picture of Jesus. If some of you with a picture of Jesus, you let everything slide. Oh, I know they waved crystals over me, and I know they, you know, had a chicken's foot that they stamped with a little blood on, and you know, but they had a picture of Jesus. Oh, well, a picture of Jesus. You think that that picture of Jesus solves everything? I mean, you don't realize that James says that the devil believes too and trembles. He believes so much. I mean, the devil is an expert at mixing a bunch of stuff together. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. I want you to hear me well. Some of you need to hear this big time. Listen, anytime you put anything in your life above God, it becomes an idol. Listen, behind every idol are spiritual forces waiting to entrap you and pull you down. I've seen girlfriends in relationship with boyfriends that are abusive, that are no good for them, that are just like anybody with their mind and head screwed on straight would say, get out of that relationship. But I've seen girls in relationship with guys that they almost control that woman's life like a puppet, telling them what to do and how to go, and they cannot get out and they cannot escape. And you say, well, they're just madly in love. I think there's something more than that. I think they put an idol up there in their life, and the enemy is using some spiritual force to keep them entrapped in it. And by the way, did you realize too that the Bible talks about what some people refer to as soul ties? In 1 Corinthians earlier, it talks about when someone, when the Bible says, hey, your body belongs to God, but if you take your body and you have a sexual intercourse with a prostitute, it says the two of you become one. Well, what does it mean that the two of them become one? Hey, just as in marriage, the two become one. They become one physically, but they affect each other spiritually, and they affect the soul of one another as well. That's what it means to become one. The two, although they are two separate, the two are influenced by the same things. They affect each other. Listen, when you say, well, it was just casual sex. I don't really believe. I mean, you're just casual. I'm just a guy I don't really care about. And once in a while, we just, you know, have sex. Listen, there is no such thing as casual sex. Do you realize that the moment that you go to bed with someone, the moment that you go to bed with someone, there is a oneness that occurs there. There is an influence of power over each other. There is a spiritual connection that happens, and soul connection and body connection, so that that person begins to influence the other person's life. And if you have sex with a prostitute, that prostitute affects you. And some people are in this bound up relationship that they know it's bad, that's no good, but because they are tied together through this bondage of sexuality, they cannot escape the spiritual, physical grip that is in their life, even though they're spiraling downward, they're affecting one another's life. I didn't say God says it. The two have become one. That's what the Bible talks about. You're spiritually affecting one another. Oh, this is as old as the Garden of Eden. Do you remember the first temptation that ever happened? God decided, I'm going to create a perfect world. He put man and woman in this perfect, pristine garden. And he said, hey, here's all the animals, and here's the fruits and the trees. Here's the watermelon and the papaya, and here's the oranges and apples. And here is this pristine, beautiful place. And God walked among them, and the woman was naked and the man was naked, and they were there and they had all day. And all the men are saying, yeah, that's paradise.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message called Keeping Your Worship Pure, which is from our series called Out of Control. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 22. Our message is called Keeping Your Worship Pure.
And it was something that God created, not the enemy. And it was working really, really well. Until what happened? Until the serpent, who was just an animal. Now, was the serpent an evil? No, it was just an animal. It was the power, the spiritual power behind the serpent. And the serpent, in essence, said to the woman, hey, eat of this, because this is good. And you will become like God. And God really doesn't want the best for you. Now, was the serpent evil? No, it wasn't the serpent that was evil. It was the spirit behind the serpent. And when the woman idolatrized the serpent and what the serpent was offering, then the spiritual force of the serpent got a grip on her life, and she came under the control and the power of the serpent when she elevated it above the word of God. Listen, anything you elevate above God, anything that takes the place of God, anything that is priority in your life above God has a power in your life. And Paul says it's a demonic power, a power that has spiritual forces behind it that can entrap you, pull you down, because you have just taken God out of his place and allowed some other powerful force to influence your life. And then what the Apostle Paul says, he's talking to Christians, and he says, you participate from the table of the Lord, and at the same time you participate from the table of demons. And they're like, what? We're Christians. We don't worship demons. We have nothing to do with evil spirits. But what the Apostle Paul is saying is, when you allow an idol in your life, and you elevate someone to a place of idolatry, there's always demonic forces behind it. Let me give you another modern day example of this. Have you ever read the Bible where it talks about sorcery? Have you ever read that in the Bible? It uses the word sorcery. Now, what is sorcery? Some people think that it's some witch sitting over some big kettle of stew with a long crooked nose and putting frogs' legs and chicken eyes and cow's tails. No, that's menudo. Other weird stuff in there and mixing it up there and creating some concoction. I know some of you are getting hungry already saying, you know that cow's tail, you know that. Okay. Other weird stuff and some big boily thing coming up and doing incantations, and we feel like, well, that's sorcery, right? No. What is modern day sorcery? Sorcery is any kind of concoction, any kind of potion, any kind of physical stimulant that causes you to go other places, either in your spirit or in your soul. And we have a word for that today, and we call it drugs. And when you see the word sorcery, you'll find it in the area of the demonic and so forth. What do you think that hallucinatives, uppers or downers, you think it's just a physical experience that's happening to you? Are opening yourself up to spiritual and demonic stuff. Because you're opening up the door to an addiction, something that you place above anything else, and behind every addiction, you're composed of body, soul, and spirit. Behind every addiction, there are spiritual forces. And Paul says, how can you partake of the Lord's Supper, and at that same time, how can you drink of the table of demons? You are drinking of the body, the bread and the cup, and then you're also mixing your drinks with the demonic. Because anytime you put anything above God, anytime anything equates to God, anytime you have an idol in your life, you have just opened up the door for spiritual forces to get a grip on your life that do not want to let go of your life, because you have just made something a God in your life that's not the God of the Bible. Now do you see how serious idolatry is? Why God talks about it so much? And then he goes on and he says this in verse 22, listen. He says, are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he is? Now, hold on, pause a second. Some of you are saying, hey, I thought jealousy was a sin. I mean, can God get jealous? I mean, we know that God can't sin, but if he can't sin, how can he get jealous if jealousy is a sin? How many of you have ever asked yourself that question? I read in the Bible that God gets jealous, and you're like, hold on, are you allowed to get jealous, God? Isn't that like off the table for you, Lord? Well, here's the thing. Do you realize that there's a holy jealousy and an unholy jealousy? Do you realize that there's a holy anger and an unholy anger? Some of you, when you get angry, you sin, but not all anger is sin. Anger is an emotion, not a sin. It's what we do with our anger that leads to sin. Jesus got angry and turned over tables. Did Jesus sin? No, he got angry over something that he should have become angry over. Listen, some of us need to get angry more. Now, don't go home and start beating the cat and, you know, kicking the walls and say, Pastor Mark said I should get angry more. No. Well, hold on a second. I'm like, get angry at the right things. Some of you have blow a lid because your two-year-old spilled some milk on your new furniture, and you're kicking walls and cussing and wondering why you ever had this kid and beating the wall and flipping out over that when there are a dozen teenagers within the last couple of weeks that have been shot and killed over some senseless violence in Chicago. Our youth that are being killed bullets ricocheting in their rib cages because they're flashing gang signs on some corner and then some of the innocent victims being shot in between. You want to get mad? Get mad at that. You want to get angry? Listen, there's some kids that are experiencing abuse in their house, sexual, verbal abuse. You want to get angry? Get angry at that. Get angry at injustice, at abuse, at bigotry, at racism, at an educational system that favors the rich and ostracizes the poor. And you want to get angry? Get angry at some of those things. And we got plenty of stuff to get angry about. But most of us get angry at the wrong things. We obsess about the wrong things. And we throw a fit over the milk that was spilled on that new piece of furniture while we mindlessly and in neutral watch the television news of just the atrocities that are happening in our city and say, pass the ketchup, and it doesn't even affect us. Hey, there's a place for anger. And listen, there's a place for jealousy. Absolutely. Not jealousy in the wrong way, because some people have jealousy built out of insecurity. You're insecure and you become extremely jealous. Listen, some men get extremely jealous for two reasons. One, because of insecurity, and secondly, because they themselves have been untrustworthy in their lives. So they're projecting their infidelity, their unfaithfulness on their wife or their girlfriend. And so they're extremely jealous. Why? Because they know where they've been, what they've done, where their heart has been. I remember having a conversation with a woman that says, you know, my husband for years, every time I come in, man, he smells my clothes. He goes in my closet. He's looking for hairs. Goes through all my telephone. She says, I've been so faithful to him. I said, what about him? Oh, well, he hasn't been that faithful. Okay, there we have it. That, my friends, is sin. Jealous insecurity is sin. It's sin. Jealous insecurity, living that way, that's out of a heart of brokenness. But let me tell you what's not sin. What's not sin, and when you imagine and create in your mind all these things, and listen, some people that have jealousy in their heart, if you are affected by insecure jealousy, some of you are driving yourselves crazy by imagination, and you're imagining things that have never happened, that never will, and projecting them on people and making them miserable because of the insecurity and what the enemy has your mind in, and you live in the zone of insecurity. And I'm saying, get a grip on it. That's unhealthy. Ungodly. Destructive. Jealousy and insecurity in your life. I'm not talking about that. Listen, if you're dating someone and they go off the edge on that, man, you better run fast. You say, well, it's going to get better once we're married. Oh, let me tell you, it will not get better. It will escalate. It will get worse. Unless he has a breakthrough, unless she has a breakthrough, it will not get better. And if they don't feel like they can control you that way, then it goes to greater verbal abuse, physical abuse. You know, I've seen it over and over. So, you know, don't just, you know, brush it off. Well, he just, you know, he's kind of, you know, he's a little jealous. And it's kind of cute when you're dating, right? When some guy talks to you and then he's like, well, what'd he say? What do you want with you? How come he's talking to you? Oh, I feel so protected and so loved. Oh, yeah. You may feel protected and loved right now. Give it a little time. Wait till he won't let you go to a family party. Wait till he don't want to let you come to church because you're just going there to scope out the guys and what brother's talking to you and who hugged you this time. And hey. It goes there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It goes there. Hey, it goes there. It goes there. Do not let it go there. Do not let it go there.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago. This has been his series called Out of Control, and our message was Keeping Your Worship Pure. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com That's Pastor Mark Jobe, JOBE.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you with your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message or the entire series, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We'd love to invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. You can check out all of our locations and the times that we meet at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you, and please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing to you, and we ask that you join us again on the next Straight Talk. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your listenership. On behalf of Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself, have a great night, and God bless.